1970s. Anybody? Wow, awesome. How many of you were like, I was born in the 70s? Okay, a few of you too. How many of you graduated in 1990s? Somewhere in the 1990s. There we go, a few more. Good. If we were to look at the 1970s people's annuals, and we were to look at the 1990 people's annuals, do you think there would be different styles of hair and clothes and things going on at that time? Yeah, I got a lot of punches out of that too. Kaylee saw a picture. She recognized Mimi. She said, who is that with Mimi? They said, that's Papa. No way, he's got hair. Oh well. All to say, time progresses, doesn't it? If time progresses, then we change. Right? We change. Some people say I'm resistant to change. Some people react to change. They don't want to change. But regardless, all things change. Okay? We're going to talk this morning about progressiveness. And I don't want that to be a negative connotation. I want it to be a positive, progressive. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will help us to identify how we can progress to be more like Christ. Okay? How we can progress to be more like Christ. In Romans chapter 12, all familiar verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he gives us the warning in chapter 2 in the application. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Father in heaven, humbly come, God, that they would hear your voice today. God, that you would use your servant to share the news of how that we can serve you, love you, and present ourselves to you holy and acceptable. That is a reasonable service, Lord. And I do pray that God, today, someone who does not know the free gift of salvation, doesn't know you as personal Savior and has been beat up by the world, and God, many things has happened, walls of trust and everything else has been put up, that today, Lord, that you would minister to them your love and grace and mercy. God, they would know you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A changed life to live is the goal. To change to be more like Christ. Time cannot be stopped, can it? Hello? You there? Time can't be stopped, can it? No. So, transformed is a change that comes from the inside and works its way out. The world's conformed talks about the outside trying to change the inside. God's way of living is changed from the inside to work its way out. This beseech word is a call, is to change on the inside and then begin to live it out. Okay? That's what it's calling us to do. That's the challenge. Has your life changed? And is it changing? Are you more like Christ or are you more like the world? That would be a self-evaluation that you need to go through. You need a challenge and spend some time with God, getting along with Him and asking yourself, am I changing, Lord, to be more like you? Or am I changing to be more like the world? That beseech is an urge, an encouraging word that comes to come alongside you. Come alongside you and encourage you and to help you and to try to get you motivated to live more like Christ. Paul here is appealing to our will, of which God is calling us to choose to live for Him, to surrender our total self, our total being. No hidden agendas, no hidden aspects of our life, but to totally surrender ourselves to Him. God has told us, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot. You're either living for Him or you're living against Him. You're living as the world. We're encouraged to come alongside each other, and that's why we do church, that why we come along each other to help us to encourage to live for Christ, to be more like Christ. The word therefore in the Bible always means it's there for a reason. Okay? It is there for a reason. C.S. Lewis said this: live for the next world, you get this one in the deal. Got that? Live for this world, you get the next one in the deal. Live for the next world and you get this one in the deal. Sorry. But if you live for this world, you lose both. Live for the next world and you get this one in the deal. Live for this world and you lose both. Think about that. Who are you living for? You're living for Christ or you're living for the world? We need to surrender ourselves to Him. In chapters 12 through 16 in the book of Romans, he explains in great detail how we should apply the riches, truths, and doctrines that has been given to us from chapters 1 to chapter 11. Chapter 12 through 16 helps us to identify and to go into great detail on how we're to apply what we've already read in chapters 1 through 11. So I'd encourage you to read God's Word because it helps us to apply those things to our life. Some people might not say, or they might say that it doesn't apply to us today. We're too modern, whatever. No, that's a lie. Don't buy into that. God's Word is applicable today, right now, for each one of us. Read God's Word and ask Him to reveal to you what the truth is that you need to apply to your own life. Amen? In chapter 1 of Romans, we read about God's wrath against ungodliness. And it's very serious. If you read those chapters of ungodliness and what it says, you will realize that you should not toy with being ungodly, because it is extremely serious. Then in chapter 2 of Romans, you find God's righteous judgment. You know, if you go before a judge today, you may or may not win. But if you go before God, you can stand sure that everything He says is just and correct and right. There is no wavering. There is no gray area when it comes to standing before God in judgment. You're either going to be for Him or you're going to be against Him. No in between. No excuses. No blame game. God's judgment is just and right. Because in chapter 3, He talks about that. That God is faithful and God is just. Then if you go to chapter 5 of Romans, we are justified by faith, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I should get more than one amen on that. I mean, if you read the wrath of God and the judgment of God, and you get down to chapter 5 and you look at, we are justified by faith by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, your wood must be wet. You got some snow you need to scrape off. Because in chapter 6 and chapter 10, we find the grace of God and we find the plan of God. For all of us have sinned. We know what wages of sin is, right? Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. God has given us so much. We should respond to Him by being grateful and by being obedient and totally committed to Him. When we sing "Surrender All," "I surrender all," we should mean it. Not only we should mean it, but we should live it out. Amen? Oh my. We should, because of what all He's done for us. This is a very encouraging message from God to us, that we should offer ourselves to Him, surrender to His will, so that when we live out His purposes and plan, we bring Him the glory, because it is the best life to live. It is the best life, guys. Realize that it's not some artificial, something that we go through that's just the motions of life. This is the one true God that created all things, that before Him all things were created, and the one that we stand before and give an account for our lives, so that where our destiny spends for eternity and the rewards that He has for us, this is the one that we stand before. God be the glory. Let us live for Him. Surrender our total selves to Him. He's kept on telling us and urging us to live it out. He said not live it out just on Sunday. Don't live it out just when people are watching you, so that you're trying to impress somebody. I seen the testimony of a guy named Terry Crews. Terry Crews said that he was so narcissistic, so about himself, that he wanted to have an impression on people, that he wanted this image that he had on other people. So he said, my wife knew who I really was. He said, because we go to the shopping center and my wife be with me. He said, if I saw other people, I would get out of the car real quick and run around to the other side and open the door for her. Just to impress somebody, you know what I mean? To give that impression, my image, that I'm a man, I'm a good man, I'm a good husband. He said, if there wasn't nobody around, get your door to yourself. Hello. We don't need to be trying to impress people. We need to be pleasing God. We don't need to be all about us. We need to be all about Him. We need to live it out 24/7. This is a daily, progressive life that He's talking about. We always need Him. Every day we need Him. Every hour we need Him. That we can live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. He proved to us what His love was. He showed us how to serve. He showed us how to minister to people. He's shown us how we should live. We can't do this on our own. That's impossible. But with Him, all things are possible. Amen? Progressively growing to know God and to make Him known, both through our lives and through what we say, what we speak. It's a process, and we need to trust God for the process. To be authentic. To be authentically in love with God and be dedicated to commit to follow Him daily. To take up our cross daily and follow Him. It is God's mercy that's shown to us that we are able, that we're able to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We can't do it on our own. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And you need to understand that and live that out. And not fight the battles by yourself. We need to go to God and say, God, I need your help. It can be that short of a prayer that helps you. God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. When my feet hits the ground on the morning, I need to look at Him and say, God, I can't do this day by myself. I need you. Because you really do. You need to lean on Him, depend on Him. It's because of His mercy that we have a new day, that we can come here and gather together and worship Him and praise Him and actually respond to what He's calling us to do. It's a mercy day. When you commit to Christ, think of all the mercies of God that's been given to you. Paul explains these things. Think about the mercies He's given you. Now, if He's given you the mercy, does God expect us to grant that mercy to somebody else? Absolutely. Justified. Justification from the guilt and the penalty of sin. That's God's mercy, isn't it? Justification from the guilt and the penalty of sin. Your sins are forgiven. You get a fresh new start, a new way of life, and the power of the Holy Spirit to live within you so that you can live that life. You've been adopted. You've been adopted in Jesus' family. Now you're identified with Christ. Hello? You're identified. You're part of the family. Huh. You're a child of God. You are a royal priesthood. You can identify. I'm God's child. Don't touch this. You're placed under grace. Are you glad God's grace is amazing? Not the law. You're under grace. It is by grace that you're saved, not of works. If it was by works, your church attendance would probably be better on Sundays. Your serving God might be better on Sundays. You see more people. But it's not by works. It's by grace. Praise God. It's by grace that we're saved, not of works. We work and serve because we love Him, not because we get His salvation. It's because He's done so much for us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. Because what He's did for us, it's out of love and gratitude. You've been given the Holy Spirit to live within you. That Holy Spirit within you is to empower you, to equip you to live what God intended you to live. To live out His purpose and plan for your life so that you can bring those gifts to Him and please Him. The promise of help in affliction. When you're going through trials and tribulations, you're going through medical issues, financial issues, family issues. Aren't you glad that you can go to God and ask Him to help you? Hello. Praise God. That regardless of what we're going through, that you can go to God and know that He's there, that He's going to help you, that it matter whether you are healthy or sick, or you have or you have not, that God is there with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, for He is your God and He will uphold you with His righteous right hand. That's the God that we serve. I pray that God will help you through anything that you're going through right now, that He will give you what you need when you need it, because I know that He is faithful to His children. He gives you exactly what you need when you need it. And pick up on the word need, not want. And sometimes people don't know the difference. Okay? What you need, He will provide. This is the good part of His mercies. The assurance of having an eternal home in heaven where He is. Anybody for that? Is that good? Is that all right? That you have the assurance of having an eternal home in heaven. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. That's right. For Thou art with me. So somebody that's going through death, somebody that's right on that door of going into eternity, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and confessed Him as Lord, they're not alone. If there's a shadow, there has to be somebody. Okay? You're not alone. I've had that question asked to me before. Somebody that's right on the verge of dying. What will it be like? And I shared with them scripture, but the part that gave them the peace and the comfort the most was knowing they're not alone. He will take me by his hand and lead me to what? The promised land. He's faithful. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we totally surrender all to. We have the eternal home prepared for us, that where he is, there we may be also. We can have the confidence that we that are alive and remain, he's coming again. He's coming out of glory to receive us. If you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's another promise of his mercies. The confidence of his coming glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning of verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, praise be to God, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Is that comforting words to you as a follower of Christ? Then that should also challenge us, for those who don't know Christ, so that they can have the confidence as well, where they will remain with him as well, so that they can come to believe and know him. I can't jump that high. I know some guys can. But that day, I'm going to be caught up with him in the air. I may have a basketball when I have to see if I could dunk one on the way out. What a promise. What a promise. Revelation chapter 21. God is so good to us that we should all be willing to do whatever God calls us to do. Not what people calls us to do, but what God calls us to do. We should be willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice for him. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Praise be to God. There's coming a day. But until that day, let us that know him as Savior and Lord present our bodies a living sacrifice which is holy and acceptable unto him. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God, that you can give him all the glory because of all the things he's done for us. Don't you see that? Don't you see what God has done for us? Why would you not want to serve him and present your total self to him? Because he has the very best. Only the world has a whole lot less. So neither should not never turn back to the world anymore. Let's keep pursuing and progressing to be more like Christ. How are you going to respond to what the Holy Spirit of God has placed on your heart this morning? Have you given yourself totally to him? Is there areas of your life that you need to repent from? It's not your total self. There are some areas that you need to say, God, I surrender to you. This is, you already know, and I surrender to you. I present myself to you, Lord. I want to be holy. I want to be separate from this world. I don't want to be conformed. I don't want to be like this world. I don't want to have all the temptations of this world that I partake into, that I act upon. I don't want to be conformed to this worldview of their thinking or their stinking thinking or acting it out or doing whatever. I want to be more like you, Lord. How are you going to respond this morning? Holy means separate from the world and walking with God. Today, is the Lord calling you to be transformed? To forsake all and place your total trust in Him? Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard all the mercies that God's justification, adoption, the grace, the Holy Spirit, the promises, the assurances, the confidence. You've heard all those things and the Holy Spirit has pierced your heart and said, that's what I've been looking for. I need to ask forgiveness of my sins and turn my life over to God. Confess Him. Believe in what He did for me. That I can receive those free gifts that God is offering. Maybe that's you this morning. I have no idea what you're going through, but I know the God who does. And I want you to know that He loves you. And He extends His hands out to you, those nail-scarred hands. He gave Himself for you because He loves you and He wants the very best for you. How are you going to respond to what He's calling you to do this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come. Just listen to God. Don't worry about what other people may think or do or say. Just respond to God this morning. However He is calling you, whatever He's calling you to do. It could be there in your pew that you make that decision. It could be at this altar that you just humbly come and pray. It could mean that you just need to come pray and have somebody pray with you. I'd be glad to do that, honored to do that. If you're here and you're lost without Christ and you don't know Him as your personal Savior, it'd be my privilege to introduce you to Him this morning. He's calling. He's calling each of us this morning. How are you going to respond to what He wants you to do today? This is the God that loves you. He gave Himself for you. Right now. Father, we open this up to respond to what You're calling us to do this morning. This altar's open. Decisions that need to be made, I'll be glad to and honored to pray with them, to introduce them to You as personal Savior, to pray with them about matters that they need somebody just to pray with. Others are here that's willing to pray with them as well. God, I know that You love us and that You have this in store for us. This very day, You planned. You set it in motion. And we're here. May we present ourselves to You. We don't need to turn You away, Lord. We need to embrace You. And I pray that You would do that. We would do that here this morning as You extend Your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? Respond to